Welcome to Working Dog Radio, broadcasting the bite.
We here at Working Dog Radio are so proud of our relationship with Southern Coast Canine. Bill Heiser does some amazing work down there in Florida. Go see for yourself all they have to offer at www.southerncoastcanine.com. That's Southern Coast, the letter K, the number 9.com. Southern Coast Canine. Better training, better results, better dogs.
It's no secret that Eric and I are both professional trainers, meaning that we go through a lot of toys teaching dogs to find drugs, bombs, bugs, whatever. The problem always is durability or safety. When we get a dog that's a super hard biter and a chewer, we got to go with a harder toy, which tears up their teeth. Or we get a dog that goes with a softer toy, and we always have an issue with durability or safety, having them chew it up and swallow it. I think a good solution to that is the guys from USA-Canine.com. USA Canine uses a natural rubber, which is much safer and environmentally friendly. Plus, they're also USA-made, and they're restringable, which is a huge deal for me since we use Dutch boxes. For every purchase you guys make, using the discount code K9 Pro, that's the letter K, the number 9, P-R-O, they're going to donate 10% of that sale so that we can give away some toys to deployed MWD teams across the world. Hit them up, usa-canine.com. Use the discount code, the letter K, the number 9, P-R-O, that's K-9 Pro.
This episode of Working Dog Radio is brought to you by HITS Training and Consulting. Next year, August 13th through the 16th in Chicago, Illinois, the number one police canine conference in the world, hands down, the most amazing instructors there. Wait till you see the vendor show. If you thought last year was big, you haven't seen anything. There's going to be vendors from every facet of the canine industry, giveaways, everything you can think of, great times during the day, great times at night. Ted and I will be there, Working Dog Radio booth, going to have a good time. HITS 2019, don't wait, register now. HITSK9.net.
TrueScentK9.com. That's the letter K, the number 9. TrueScentK9.com. Actual explosive odors suspended in silica, not a pseudo. Hit them up. TrueScentK9.com.
Hey guys, Eric here. I want to take a second to talk to you about one of our newest sponsors. That is Ray Allen. You know, I worked at a police department. One thing that police administrators like is they like to do one purchase order for all your stuff. They like to go to one place to get everything they can. RayAllen.com is that place for canine. They have everything from heat alarms to muzzles, first aid, harnesses, bowls, all the way down to the smallest little thing. Kennels, kennel supplies, everything you could need for kennels, even kennel flooring they have in there. RayAllen.com, right there in Colorado Springs, man. American made, 70 years they've been in business. 70 years supplying canine units, sport guys, Joe Schmo, regular guys like me now. You know, I'm retired. I need a place to go get my stuff. RayAllen.com. Here's the best part is they're giving us a discount code, Working Dog Radio. Put it in checkout, get 10% off your order. RayAllen.com, RayAllen.com.
We are back again. It's Ted from Working Dog Radio broadcasting the bite. This is the last recording of 2018. And New Year's Eve is a couple days, and I'm here in Tulsa. It's cold as shit. I'm drinking hot toddies. I'm sure it's cold in Ohio. Eric, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, it hasn't been too bad, and today it's cold, though. This is dreary and miserable and whatever, typical Ohio. The only good thing is I haven't had to shovel. It is not snowing at all in December. So that's always all right. Because the thing is, now that I have the daycare business, if it snows, I got to go up early and shovel up out the parking lot. And
pass. So, you know, we're going to kind of do some things differently on this one. You can find me and the podcast on Instagram. I'm Ted_Summers on Instagram. Podcast is Working_Dog_Radio. And of course, we've got Torchlight K9, letter K, the number 9. That's the kennel side. And then, of course, Working Dog Dragon, which is the muzzle side. Eric, where are you?
I'm at Van S K9 on Instagram and Van S K9 Academy on Facebook and Van S K9 Academy Daycare, which, if you're not local, don't really care, but there's some cool pictures we put on stuff up there on the daycare, but that's also on Facebook. And then we have VanSK9.com as a website.
So the social media side of the podcast is fairly important. We've been running it's still going on, by the way, giveaway. We had, I don't know, like $5,800 worth of shit to give away. Actually, our current guest that we're having on tonight has some stuff that we're going to give away. We haven't we've done it yet, but it's in part of the giveaway. And we're doing that all through Instagram or Facebook or through Patreon. So really the only way to kind of participate in those is to follow myself or Eric or the podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And that's how you'll get a hold of. We gave away one of the ball bopper dropper things from Dogs. We're going to give away a collar from Modern Icon, give away a collar from Josh Kirby, giving away some Ray Allen harness. So all kinds of cool shit, Trico stuff. We're going to give away a Pat Nolan spot, which is super cool.
Kids. Yeah, we just did that.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So you got to be on there to, you got to follow us on social media platforms to be part of that deal. One of the things that we're doing currently also is Patreon. The best way to describe Patreon is if like Kickstarter and Facebook had a baby. And we get a lot of questions that aren't really well served in this platform. Patreon's perfect because I can do video and I can do audio content all at the same time, and I can interact with people, or Eric and I can interact with people without all the fuckery that goes on Facebook, and it typically is a lot cleaner in terms of organization and everything else. But it's a way for people to interact with Eric and I in a platform that makes sense for everybody, that's easy to access and everything else. It's been great so far. We've got 100 and something people signed up. It's a monthly subscription fee, so it kind of supplements the podcast, which is awesome. There has been a controversy lately with people in our industry and outside the industry with Patreon censoring people. So everybody can incur. I encourage everybody to go listen to the Joe Rogan. He does a really good job about explaining what the controversy involves and why Patreon chose to pull this dude's account. What it amounts to is it's a British dude that expressed himself in a very non-productive way on a separate social media platform, and it ended up being a fucking shit show. And like, I get it. I really do. I in no way endorse that dude's, not Joe Rogan, the guy he's talking about. I'm not even gonna mention his name, but I in no way endorse his political views or anything that he has to say. When we started this project, it was all about getting information to handlers and information to admins and information to our industry. We chose to use platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Patreon, Google, because we have a Google email account, any of the number hosting things that are run by people that have very specific political views that have nothing to do with what we're talking about. And by and large, we're closing in on a year, by the way, on this deal, and we have not talked about national politics or, for that matter, really even local politics, and I don't really intend to. There's a shitload of podcasts out there if you want to listen to people bitch about whoever's sitting in the fucking White House. There are hundreds of podcasts to do. That's not what this is about. It is entirely possible for myself or Eric or whoever to endorse a platform and use it, like Facebook, like Instagram, like Patreon, whatever, and wholeheartedly disagree with individuals that run those platforms, individually run those platforms as a person, and disagree with their political views. Perfect. I can support Facebook without agreeing with Mark Zuckerberg's policies. I can support Apple, clearly, because you're probably listening to this on Apple or Google. I can support the platform of the iTunes store, like the podcast store or Google Play, without endorsing Google or Apple's individual political beliefs or anybody else's political beliefs. So kind of in that vein, we've had some people in the industry kind of say, you know what, we're going to take a stand and we're not going to go onto Patreon because these guys are censoring people. And so whether they are or aren't, and whether it's right or wrong, it's not really for me to decide. But we had some people ask, and I encourage you to go listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. Just go in and Google it, Joe Rogan Patreon controversy. It's 12 minutes and 35 seconds, and he talks about it. He reads it word for word. I don't even want to read it just because of what it says. You know, I listened to it and I flinched when Joe Rogan was reading it secondhand. So I was like, God dang, man, I can kind of get why people got kind of bent about this. So I'm like, yeah, but Patreon felt like they were doing the right thing. I mean, you know, we cover, you know, law enforcement is not really a popular stance in the country right now. And Apple hasn't given us shit. Patreon hasn't given us shit. We're talking about military law enforcement dogs. You know, we cuss a lot, we drink, we tell stupid jokes. But I think by and large, we're using the platforms as they were meant to be. There is a fundamental difference, though. And that fundamental difference is, that the people that individually run these companies don't really have, I guess, to be trite, they don't have a dog in the fight on what we're doing here. You know, it's possible for you to consume what we're doing here and it not say something about you politically or whatever, which is fine. It's kind of the point. However, within our industry, somebody that owns one of the largest equipment manufacturers in the country for police and military canines is a fucking piece of shit. The guy has done ill shit and is a convicted criminal, both federally and locally. And when you hear Eric and I talk about this guy kind of vaguely and about having some integrity and not doing business with this fucking guy, this is what we're talking about. So I encourage everyone in our industry that has said, oh, we're not going to go on to Patreon because, you know, they're censoring and everybody else, stand up and have the fucking nuts not to do business with this motherfucker who is in direct control of a company in this industry that is knowingly doing ill shit. And supporting him is supporting that. And I want to make that a fundamental, like, line in the sand, that us being on Patreon or us being on iTunes or us being on Google or us being on whatever, it's not an endorsement of their political beliefs, because, you know, Zuckerberg and whoever doesn't really care about what we're doing. There's too many degrees of separation. This motherfucker is in our industry and he's a fucking predator and he's a piece of shit. So
yeah, so we have people. Yeah. Oh yeah. Lot. We have, it kills me. The Patreon thing, that's cool, man. If you disagree with censorship, if that's what they're doing, but there's a lot of people like in this business and law enforcement that are all up in arms that a British guy who used the N-word a bunch of times on his YouTube channel, that is the reason why Patreon kicked him off. They're all pissed off and want to, you know, oh, we're not going to use it because they censored this guy. Yet they keep going to these magazine conferences. The guy who runs the magazines is the same guy that runs that equipment company. He's a convicted sex offender. Sex offender.
Multiple.
Federal gun felon. Sex offender. I'm going to repeat that 100 times if I have to, to you cop handlers out there. You're going to these conferences. You're supporting him. You're letting him use your images on social media. And he's a fucking convicted sex offender. Pled guilty to it. Also a federal gun felon. Stop it. Law enforcement, stop buying his stuff.
Federal firearms registry.
Stop. Exactly what he was. Stop it. Stop going on his, letting him use your pictures of you and your dog. Stop trying to get free shit from him. Stop trying to go to his seminars. Enough is enough. The guy cannot be in this industry. We're cops. We're supposed to have integrity. We're supposed to be doing things at a higher level. Yet we are giving money to a sex offender. Come on, man. The hypocrisy is ridiculous. And there's a lot of canine handlers that I see that I have told. I've called them or messaged them and told them the guy's a sex offender. And I see him registering for his conferences. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? I guarantee you it's against your policy to go to that conference knowing that the guy's a convicted felon. Guaranteed. Take a look at it. There's not a chief or a boss around that if they knew that the owner of those conferences was a convicted sex offender, that you would be allowed to attend it. So don't get yourself jammed up. Don't give that guy another fucking dime. You know, I see a lot of really good instructors, people I really, really respect in this business, teaching at those conferences, and they know, and they're still doing it, man. It breaks my heart to see that. That guy's got to get drummed out of here. I mean, he did all his shit while he was a cop. He's the lowest of the low, and we're going to give this guy money? Are you kidding me? Back here at my place with the Police Canine Association, as soon as we found out about this, not everybody knows, and I get that. I've told a lot of people, and they're like, what? How's this not known? I'm like, I don't know how you don't know, but people didn't. And as soon as we found out, we pulled out from advertising. We stopped going to the conferences. We canceled reservations. We were done because we were not going to support a sex offender. And that's all there is to it. Enough, man. Come on. Now I'm all fucking jacked up.
So I think kind of the point here is, if you're going to take a stand, because people are like, because we had a couple people reach out and say, oh, you know, if you're going to be on Patreon because they censor, and, you know, how do you feel about that? In writing, we haven't responded. Like, I'll just say it now. If you're going to take a fucking stand, then take a stand against everything. Don't fucking pick and choose. Take a stand against Apple. Take a stand against Google. Take a stand against Twitter. Take a stand against Instagram. Instagram. Take a stand against everything and fucking close yourself off in a hole and give people applications to be your fucking friend. Or you can fucking sack up and you can take the information for what it's worth. And the reason that we do this is so that we can have this dialogue and we can have this information, get the handlers and get the department. And yeah, I have to use these guys to do it because this is their job and that's what they do. But if you're going to take a stand and you need something to fight for and you want to make a difference in our little corner of the industry, then you're picking the wrong fucking fight with the guys on Patreon. You need to go pick it with this motherfucker that's out in Kentucky. So he's the guy you need to fucking pick a fight with, not some shithead in England or wherever the fuck this guy's from. And I'm sitting on the couch looking at Alicia. She's reading this message from somebody. I'm like, and that was kind of the back and forth was that I can't believe people are pissed off about this, like this quote unquote censorship with his views are actually what he said. I mean, whatever, you can say whatever you want. I don't care. It doesn't mean I have to listen to you, but I just can't in one hand, like shit in one hand and want in the other, where people are like, oh, we're not going to support Patreon, but I'm still going to keep buying shit from this motherfucker. I'm like, what the fuck? Are you serious? So you're going to take a stand, do something that matters. So now that's out of the way. I guess I need something else to drink. Good Lord, that was a little heavy. We're going to introduce our dad and introduce our guest. He runs a very successful Instagram.
Very? Wow. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about very. I mean, come on now. It's fucking funny.
It's on its way.
Facebook, too. Yeah, it's on its way because it's fucking funny.
Thank you.
And it's, you know, it's very, irreverent's not the word because, I mean, I guess it's accurate is what I'm looking for. But today.
I don't even know what that word means, but cool.
Yes. Today, we have Worthless Handler on. Worthless Handler, what's up?
Awesome to be here, guys.
Yes. First of all, we can find you at worthlesshandler.com and on the Instagrams and on the Facebook, correct?
Face Spizzle. Yeah, I'm on all three. I don't know what I'm doing yet, but I'm on them.
No, I mean,
you'll fuck that up. Don't worry.
I watched a video the other day of you guys getting ready for training and you were knocking a beehive down or something. And
oh, yeah, yeah. One of our only training venues
covered in fucking bees. So give us a little bit of your background and what kind of leads us up to this conversation. Talk about Worthless Handler website. I've gone through it, but I want you to tell the story.
Let's see. Did the army thing, got out, wanted to become a cop. Been doing this for 7 years. Man, my first training officer was a handler, so that's what kind of gave me the bug. So I got an early start on what the responsibilities and, you know, the roles of a good cover officer and perimeter and all that crap. So I had the bug pretty early on. So as soon as I had a position, or the position was open, I went for it. The company kind of came, like everything does, out of a training day, sitting around talking about canine crap. And man, really, when you Google canine shirts, I mean, I'm not throwing dirt on anyone, but every shirt's the same, man. You know, dog skulls and cross leashes kind of stuff. And I just wanted something different. So came up with that Guardians of the Night thing. And this was, I don't know, six, 8 months ago, something like that. And people wanted it. I was kind of surprised. So I started the website, started putting that crap on Facebook and Instagram. And I needed a name. We sat around and started BSing about all these high speed, cool guy names for canine stuff. You know, we got an email. I'll try to keep it as low key as possible. We got an email from somebody high ranking in our chain of command, referring us to as worthless. And so it was like, oh man, that's what? It. That's it right there. Worthless Handler. So that's where Worthless came from. And once we kind of put out, she did that video of who we are and kind of explained it and gave context to the name. Man, I got private messages and all kinds of stuff going, hey, dude, our agency's the same way. We get crapped on, but man, it doesn't stop us trying to get success. And so it was kind of motivating to realize that, you know, we're not the only agency out there getting dumped on, but we're still out here getting good pops and catching bad dudes.
Yeah, you know, that's, I think you struck a chord with a lot of people. I told my core group of my guys that trained with me that I was interviewing you, and Eric and I were, and they were like, holy shit, that guy's fucking hilarious, blah, blah, blah. And like most handlers identify with what you're saying in all of your Instagram stuff and all of your, and kind of the premise behind the website. I mean, the joke that I always tell is that, and not the joke, but when I'm talking to administrators, I'm like, so law enforcement is like 3% of the population and canine is 1% of that population. So we're literally talking about a tiny portion of a tiny portion. And
right.
Unless a department is like super like on the fucking ball with canine, there's no gray area. It's either seen as a time suck and a money suck and a waste of time, or it's a very valuable resource to the department. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of departments view it as the first one,
where right.
It's a time suck, it's a money suck. Oh, you got to fucking train. You've got to go this. We got to pay you more. We got to, I mean, and they don't really see the upside to it. And so they, like you said, you get the email. It's like they call us worthless handlers.
And yeah, that's, you know, insane. That's insane. If we've talked on this podcast a lot about my disdain for my department that I retired from the upper echelon. And, you know, the canine unit was there. It's been there 33 years and they fucking kick ass, right? We've been doing great things there for years and years. But you have a couple guys at the top that are suckheads and they just say stupid shit. They don't know. They can't tell you why they don't like canine. We had our chief retire. He announced his retirement and he was off. So they had one of the captains become the acting chief. And there was a couple incidents that happened with canine right in a row. Nothing catastrophic, but still, he got a call from a supervisor to tell him about something that happened with canine. And his response was, canine is a circus. You know what? Listen, if you're listening to this, Dave, hey, Dave, go fuck yourself. Canine is a circus. Those guys are out there fucking every day doing the shit that you're too much of a pussy to do. So don't sit there and say canine is a circus, because 2 days, 3 days later, nobody ever heard of any of the shit that you're bitching about. It's all gone. But because you don't like canine for no discernible reason whatsoever, maybe you're going to make like statements dogs. Like, yeah, right. Exactly. Doesn't like dogs. Go James screw Gapper. Yourself, dude. I hear that a lot. Oh, he doesn't like dogs. Hey, Dave, fuck off. How did it feel not becoming chief, you jerk off? But, you know, when I get to, I bust on the handlers all the time, right? I was training. I was a handler for a long time and I was full-time training. And I, you know, break balls on the handlers, and handlers do dumb shit. They really do dumb shit. But most of them are not worthless. I have met some worthless handlers. But to put that in an email, oh my God, that's unbelievable. A departmental record, worthless handler. Get out of here.
The best part is he put a hashtag in front of it.
No.
Oh my God.
Shit. What? Yeah.
And he's not held responsible for that. He's not, he doesn't have to answer for putting that in the server. Come on, man.
No.
Man.
And the best part is we had, now, what was this, 4 or 5 months ago. Initially, all of our training days were every Wednesday. Every Wednesday was a training day. Well, we got called into the office. Captain says, you no longer get 4, you get 2. There's no need for you guys to have that many training days. And then he uses his hands and he says, well, your standard's up here, which I understand, but it's okay to be lower. And so we all kind of stopped and looked at each other, said, just for the record, you're okay with us lowering our standard as probably the highest liability within a department. You want us to lower our standards? Are we tracking right? The end of that meeting didn't end well. But so yeah, it's the exact same thing with what you were going through.
It's not like you made it up. There's fucking case law. Like the Supreme Court has dictated that's what you motherfuckers should be doing. It's not like you made it up so that you guys can fuck off for 16 hours at a minimum.
And I'm sure, seriously? Most units, I'm sure, like ours, is our training days. We put way more time in than we do on a regular shift, and we don't claim overtime or whatever because it's all about the betterment of the dog and the building of the team. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if the agency doesn't see you, you know, they just assume that you're off, you know, jerking each other off.
So, which I've heard that does happen. Training sessions. Back before I was in canine, when they got done training, they would drink beer and get drunk and have bonfires at the end of the day. And then one of the guys got nude and ran around naked. And one of the other dudes complained on him. That was the end of bonfire drinking at canine training, fuckers.
Oh my God. So since you guys are worthless, talk about some of the successes that your unit has had. You don't have to be super specific, but to kind of give us some framework of what the worthless handlers are doing in your unit.
We are a 5-dog team and a population of about 30,000 people.
Wow.
Which is most than a lot of people get, which is at the same time mind-boggling with an agency that doesn't support the canine unit, gives us 5 dogs. But, you know, our bread and butter comes down to tracking apprehension work. We've been very successful with that. You know, I can't go too much detail on apprehension stuff other than, you know, I guess the part that kind of lets us know that we're doing the right thing and is we got outside agencies that call us regularly before they call their own agencies or closer dogs to come out and to help with apprehensions or even odor work, seizure stuff. So it's motivating that aspect that we're doing the right thing in training. We're doing the right thing on the street when we got people calling for 45 minutes away to bring our dogs in to handle business. So got a lot of, the unit gets quite a bit of apprehensions, buttloads of non-apprehension. You know, thugs don't care about guns and tasers, but as soon as the dog barks, most of them give up.
It's that little percentage that don't. Yeah, that's something that I always bring up to admins, guys that have never been handlers. You know, worried about liability. I'm like, yeah, you motherfuckers are always, usually more professional. I'm like, yeah, everybody's worried about that, but nobody ever talks about how the dog is there and de-escalates everything. All of a sudden, what could have been
absolutely
a huge use of force by a lot of people turns into just a normal cuff him and take his ass to fucking county. And
absolutely huge force multiplier.
Yeah. And on top of that, you know, I mean, some of my dog last year, I had a handler kill a guy with a taser, or 2 years ago. He killed two people with a taser. And they kind of looked at me and I'm like, yeah, but less lethal, not non-lethal, stupid. And I had dogs stop suicide by cop. I mean, kids that were like, you're going to have to shoot me, and sticking their fucking hands in their pants and doing all kinds of stupid shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I'm going to shoot you with a dog bite you. And all of a sudden they're like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're prepared to get shot, but they're not prepared to get bit. So nobody ever talks about that. And, absolutely. You know, so you guys are busy, despite being
worthless. We are very busy.
Despite being worthless. I guess
we're
that's
changing
good.
That name. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good thing now. We stay pretty active. We are used quite often.
So do you guys do normal patrol functions, or are you guys strictly just canine listening?
No, right now, manpower sucks. Our retirement system has changed quite a bit. Lots of retirees, they're bailing out, which is completely understandable. So we are taking calls just like everybody else. We're kind of last on the list, trying to hold for priority stuff. But for the most part, if crap comes out, we got to go.
Yeah, we were lucky when I was a handler, and it's still the same at my old department, is they're to be kept available as much as possible, not to be sent on accidents.
Right.
To avoid report calls, if possible. They do sometimes put them in a zone, and they kind of got to suck it up with that stuff. But I was a handler for a long time, and I could probably count on two hands how many reports I did that were unrelated to the dog stuff. So if you get a place, if you can get to a place where it's like that, that's awesome. It does spoil the shit out of some dudes, but it does make sense. You don't want the handlers handling criminal damaging complaint, and the robbery goes out, and they're sitting there making a report, and they're stuck.
Exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like
a lot of places we have sense, but don't get to do that. Yeah. So do you guys have? You may have said in the beginning. Do you guys have explosive dogs at all?
We've got one. We have all of our dogs are dual purpose, 4 narcotic and 1 bomber.
Is he busy?
He does a lot of. He was a prior narcotic dog. He just got this bomb dog a couple months ago. We acquired him from one of the local SOF units. So he is a lot better about using the media to the advantage. So he is out doing preventative stuff, early morning factory searches, school, business stuff. And he's really good about showing that kind of exposure to try to get media and whatnot on our side. So he's doing awesome with the dog that way. But as far as, you know, bomb work, besides, you know, we got a lot of factories in our city. So he has to respond to a lot of that crap. Because, you know, whenever you get your 3 days, you haven't made it to work, they call in bomb threats so they don't get fired. So they get a lot of those. And he's a freaking tracking machine. I don't even know where we got him from. They don't focus a ton on the tracking. With what his role is with the unit that he came from was more of route clearance and, you know, and heavy odor work, because that's where their bread and butter is. But man, this dog just freaking comes out of the truck tracking. So he's used on apprehension stuff as well. But as far as bomb work, he's using them pretty well on preventative stuff and the media, you know, the good PR stuff.
Yeah, that's good. We had two bomb dogs, dual purpose bomb dogs, and they were super busy. We had the Football Hall of Fame there, that big whole festival or whatever you want to call it every year is very manpower intensive with bomb sweeps and stuff. But we use the dogs a lot for guns, you know, gun recovery and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's a nice little added thing that actually some guys actually forget about. A lot of the shift guys forget that. Do you guys, any of your dogs belong to any task forces or anything?
No task force dogs. And that was a good point, the gun thing. He is used quite a bit because we have quite a bit of shootings, a lot of gang problems. And he'll usually come out and look for guns and casings.
Yeah, he'll solve some cases, man, with that bomb dog on shell casings and stuff. If I could have probably stayed in the unit at all as a handler before I became the trainer, I would have liked to have tried the bomb dog. That would have been a lot of fun.
It's definitely a different world, and especially setting up venues for him. It's a whole lot different setting up legitimate, realistic venues for a bomber than it is a dope world. A lot of the time, I got to kick myself and remind myself that I'm setting up a venue for him. It's, you know, to make it realistic, it's that one odor and done kind of thing, and the importance of threshold searching and door bottoms and stuff. And, you know, the dopers can, you know, we can get a whole lot more relaxed when it comes to odor work, narcotic odor work, I should say, on hide placement and stuff like that. Bombers, man, you get one chance or you're done.
Yeah, that's I always tell.
They have more odors too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell handlers, I always tell my handlers, but I say, you know, I can go to a large group of handlers and watch them not knowing what the odor is, and I can tell who's a detection or who's a narcotics guy and who's an explosive guy. And they kind of look at me like, how do you know? I'm like, because the explosive guys don't fuck around, and they're not necessarily way farther back, but they're definitely paying way more attention than the narcotics guys are. You know, there's some behaviors that narcotics guys do or that narcotics guys teach, and that some large national organizations still teach. And I'm like, you guys certify bomb dogs that way too, huh? And they're like, oh yeah. I'm like, really?
All right, cool. I mean, you plan on touching shit and throwing tugs at bombs and all kinds of cool stuff or what? And
right.
They kind of look at you like you got a dick growing out of your forehead. And I'm like, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not going to go throw anything at a bomb. So... For sure. So kind of on the realistic side, we're going to take a break for a second. We'll come back and I want to talk about some of the stuff that I see on Instagram and Facebook.
Let's take a second and talk about canine training seminars. You definitely don't want to shortchange yourself. That's why you should join Eric and I at HITS in Chicago this year, the week of August 13th to the 16th. That's 2019. We know training budgets are always tight, especially for canine. And that's why HITS goes the extra mile for you guys. Now, let's be honest. There's no other canine training conference on the planet like HITS that has the depth and breadth of instructors. HITS has now gotten so large and so successful that the 2019 conference will be held in the largest convention center in North America. That's Chicago's McCormick Place. There's no secret as to why these guys are so successful. It's because canine handlers want to learn from canine trainers who are police dogs themselves. That's because real-world experience matters when it comes to these type of police dog trainers. The guys who run HITS are still working police dogs just like the guys listening to this podcast. HITS is the real deal because it's run by real current police dog handlers and trainers. HITS has had 1,100 people in attendance this year in Washington, D.C. That was actual numbers. Eric and I were there. I promise. It was busy. You don't want to miss your chance to be part of that kind of training and, more importantly, that kind of networking and information exchange. Visit them on the web and register early to save some money. You just got to go to hitscanine.net to register and save big time. There's also information there about discounts for the hotel and where the hotel's at. HITS has 3 full days of training with 5 open classrooms going on all at the same time. HITS always does a survey at the end of the conference to take suggestions for new training classes for the coming year. Your core classes and detector training, techniques, drug case law updates, patrol tactics, training techniques for real world deployments just keep getting better and better and better. And then you have the multiple classes about bomb detection that's taught by different instructors to give you different ideas. And the list doesn't stop there. Handlers who work dogs in jails and in prisons have classes set up specifically for them to address specific issues for those environments. And they want to learn from guys that are doing that actively now. And they are. What if you want to learn about canine nutrition or emergency first aid? They got it covered. What if you're a canine supervisor who doesn't even work a dog and never has, but you need to know how to run a unit better? They've got some of the best in the industry that are going to be there running classes specifically for that. So go check out what's new. HITScanine.net, the letter K, the number 9. Another reason why HITS is the most popular canine training conference is the vendors. There's going to be 100 vendor booths, all the best canine gear on the market. Come join us at HITS and meet the guys who make the stuff you use every single day at work. Our vendors make coming to HITS an experience like nothing else. There's raffles every day that you don't even have to sign up for. And they gave away, I think at last count, $40,000 worth of stuff last year while we were there. And it was fantastic. So hit them up. HITS, the letter K, the number 9.net.
Hey guys, Eric here. I want to take a second to talk to you about one of our newest sponsors. That is Ray Allen. You know, I worked at a police department. One thing that police administrators like is they like to do one purchase order for all your stuff. They like to go to one place to get everything they can. RayAllen.com is that place for canine. They have everything from heat alarms to muzzles, first aid, harnesses, bowls, all the way down to the smallest little thing, kennels, kennel supplies, everything you could need for kennels, even kennel flooring they have in there. RayAllen.com, right there in Colorado Springs, man, American made. 70 years they've been in business. 70 years supplying canine units, sport guys, Joe Schmo, regular guys like me now. You know, I'm retired. I need a place to go get my stuff. RayAllen.com. Here's the best part is they're giving us a discount code, Working Dog Radio. Put it in checkout, get 10% off your order. RayAllen.com, R-A-Y. A-L-L-E-N.com.
I want to take a second to talk about equipment selection for patrol work. One of the most important aspects of teaching and maintaining patrol functions is your equipment. Proper equipment selection and fit makes all the difference in the world when it comes to creating and maintaining patrol and sport dogs. This episode is possible in part with support from Arno at ALM Suits. Because of the importance of this equipment, I use ALM Suits exclusively. I've owned one for about 5 years and use it almost daily at the kennel and have caught thousands of dogs and tens of thousands of bites. Arno was able to make a great fitting suit for my lanky ass and I couldn't be happier with it. Arno can take your measurements and make you a suit each and everything he does in his shop in Vegas. Between the top-notch materials and the handmade aspect, you're getting some of the best bite equipment in the world from ALM. The suits come in a full range of weights, from training weight to comp weight, which is what I use because I'm not a pussy and you shouldn't be either. He offers some Kevlar inserts to make the thinner suits a little safer and more comfortable, plus they keep your tattoo artist happy. He makes a full range of toys and reward tugs also. Be sure to hit him up at alncanineequipment.com, that's the letter K, the number 9, or Arno, A-R-N-O at almsuits.com. Be sure to use the discount code WDRADIO for 10% off off your first order. Tell him you heard it here. Now go get bit.
Highland Canine Training LLC. To all of my fellow LE Canine guys, Highland Canine should definitely be on your short list of vendors when it comes time to adding to your unit or replacing one of your dogs. Highland Canine offers green and pre-trained single and dual purpose dogs if you train in-house. But most importantly, they offer a full service canine academy with canine handlers courses, canine instructors courses, specialized advanced canine training, and canine supervisors courses. Jason and his staff of instructors have been there and done that in this game. They run these classes year-round, so go to their awesome website at www.tacticalpolicecaninetraining.com. That's Tactical Police, the letter K, the number 9, training.com, and make your unit better.
Let me take a second and talk to the explosive handlers here. Everybody knows that HME is a huge problem now. And the problem with training on it is that it's extremely dangerous, and a lot of times you guys only get access to it a couple of times a year, which is not enough. Nobody wants to handle TATP or HMTD. So, enter TrueScent Canine. That's TrueScent, the letter K, the number 9.com. They manufacture an actual odor, not a pseudo. It's an actual explosive odor suspended in silica. So they do TATP, HMTD, RDX, TNT, PETN, ammonium nitrate, potassium chlorate, and they do a distractor odor too so that you can proof the dogs off of the training aids, but it's actual explosive odor suspended in silica. It's safe to handle. You're not going to blow yourself up. You're not going to endanger anyone else. And the dogs, through verified testing that TrueScent has done, will alert on both the training aids and then actual HME odor down the line through training. So hit them up. TrueScentCanine.com. That's the letter K, the number 9, TrueScentCanine.com.
Worthless handler. We've kind of covered the first 10 minutes or so with Eric and I talking about something about Patreon, about the other side of the industry.
Douchebag.
Yep. About the douchebag. So Worthless Handler was kind of talking about setting up some hides for the explosive dog versus like the narcotics dog. And you mentioned something, and you know, I've been watching you guys for quite a while, and you train a lot like how Eric and I both do, or how we run our training days, with scenario-based training, both detection and in apprehension work. And you know, we just had the episode's already aired, but the last episode before yours was Janice Baker from Veterinary Tactical Group, and it was, you know, she was super clear about not being canine first aid. But you had a post the other day that was super interesting, and I guarantee you most guys have never done this. My guys haven't done it in a while, and it made me think that I had to do it or needed to redo it. But you guys had a track, and the question you posed on Instagram was basically like, if you track up to somebody and you're a mile away from your car, and this dog gets an apprehension, but he in the apprehension, the dog gets stabbed, what do you do? And I think the picture in the post was the dog all wrapped up. I don't remember off the top of my head what it was, but it was the dog wrapped up or had some sort of first aid. And it's like, so what do you do?
Yep.
So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that was mile and a half track, and it's seasoned dog. Dog's got buttloads of apprehensions, real world apprehensions, and a seasoned handler. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, my dog was down last 2 weeks with an injury. So I took training was mine. I said, I'm going to drag these dude's sticks in the dirt. You know, I love training. So I set him up a realistic track of how we do it. And, you know, I said, it's very likely the dog's going to get stabbed, dog's going to get punched, blunt force. Something's going to happen to that dog in a good fight, right? If the dude's already, if the venue was a robbery, pursuit, bailout, etc. So the apprehension is going to mirror what the scenario is that I give to the handler. So as soon as that dog hit me and it was, you know, it started pavement, all every terrain I could give the team. But it ended in a semi-dense wood line to where at the end of the 30-footer, he's not going to see what his dog's doing if I'm dead, if I'm quiet, and while his dog's on the bite. So he's not going to be able to out his dog from a distance or do that kind of thing if he sees a threat. So I'm going to be quiet about it. You know, so I was stabbing that dog. And then once he worked his way up to me, he realized, oh crap, my dog's getting stabbed. You know, and as soon as he saw me, I tossed the knife, gave up, you know, went compliant so he couldn't use lethal force, blah, 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 you know.
Right.
And then I told him, hey, where's your truck at? A mile away. Cool. Fix your dog. Your dog's done. And he dragged him away from it, tied him off his 30-footer on the fence and went to town, went to work on it. So it was awesome to see, you know, he went straight into, he played it as real world as he could have. But we try not to as a unit for our venues to end as soon as apprehension's made or as soon as odor's found. We try to make them thinkers first and have to think through a solution or think through the problem to find the solution. So after his dog was stabbed, he had to figure out that problem. Then he had to figure out, you know, how to get back to his vehicle, how to use his perimeter and his cover guys, you know, and that venue was, his cover officer was another handler, and this was a two suspect venue. And that was where the first suspect hid and the second suspect hid once he saw the dog. So it was a matter of that cover officer having to get that wounded dog and the handler back to his truck and going to get another dog and start the track from where that happened and find the second suspect. So, you know, it was a 3-hour venue and everybody was smoked at the end of it, but everyone came out better after they were actually tested as if they were on a live deployment. So
at the beginning
yeah, go ahead.
This interview, you talked about how you guys are called out for calls for service for other departments from dogs that are closer to you, but they come to you guys anyway, that are, you know, 30, 40 minutes away. What part of the success that you guys are having with the apprehension work is attributed to how you were training?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, it's a question and a statement. I mean, I know the answer, but I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, there's an undercurrent here, there has been an undercurrent here since we started this thing, the podcast, not this episode, about this. And you're in a state that doesn't have a state standard, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so do you guys do a NAPWA or USPCA or whatever?
AWD.
Okay, so you do some sort of certification standard?
Yes, we still certify annually through AWD.
So, and you know, Eric can talk, because Eric was a state certifier for Ohio, and Ohio is one of the states that has, they have both detection and patrol certification standards. And Eric's guys do a lot of what you were talking about. My guys do a lot of that stuff. Oklahoma doesn't have one. We have a detection standard. My guys will either do NAPWADA or NNDDA or whatever, a couple of them do USPCA. So they will go ahead and do one and we'll clean them up. I've got dogs in Arkansas, which has a standard kind of like Ohio. So I have special protocols for that. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to underscore, highlight how the success of your 5-dog unit is attributed to how you guys handle training, especially even after you get it cut from 4 to 2 days, because you guys are worthless handlers.
Yeah.
And it's still managed to make the best of it. So it's kind of and that was kind of one of the things that I wanted to talk about with you on here too. And also, like, you know, I mean, now that we're talking about it, what is one of your favorite scenarios? One thing that you do the most, I guess.
Apprehensions are, that's, we usually, we do our fair share of odor work and check the block and do that kind of thing. But, you know, as we say in the unit, dope doesn't kill you. The bad guys do. So we put so much time, so much effort and energy into the apprehension work and what to do when they find the bad guy and do it correctly. And trying to get rid of that equipment issues and wanting that dog to rush in that room and take the soul out of the bad guy, you know?
Yes.
There's nothing more rewarding than seeing that dog leap into a bad dude and then them cry. So, yes. That's the bread and butter.
Yeah, my guys do, I do so many fucking vehicle extractions and felony stops with our guys that we've done it in every possible fucking permutation that you can think of, from every angle, with more than one person in the car, with blinds where they send the dog in with not anybody actually in there, with more than one person in the vehicle, with guys that are willing to get out, some that aren't, and some that are on long lines, and some where you have to go over the dog, and every fucking way I can think of, and they get sick of it, but they are really, 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 really good at it. And so it's kind of, you know, they have a lot of those here where they're fishing shitheads out of cars and whatever else. And then we do a shitload of passive work. You know, most bites that our guys have, they're running up on people or they're tracking up on people and the dog's giving a proximity alert under a deck or under whatever, right? And they're making an announcement. They're sending a dog under and fishing somebody out from under a trailer, or under a trailer house, or under a car, whatever it is. So my dudes are generally very, very good and proficient at that stuff. You know, so what's the other thing that we always do? Like, oh, we do lots of dead checks or different versions of those where we shoot somebody and then they have to bite, you know, and then the dog has to bite somebody that's just been shot and they have to not pay attention to backing officers, have to be stable under gunfire, blah, 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 blah. So
that's what I was setting up for our next training day was dead checks, officer involved shootings on a felony stop or in a building, send the dog up on it and doing a small unit approaches with shields and that kind of crap, getting that dog used to that picture. But yeah, we do the same thing with dead prey, man. I would say majority of them are dead prey that we deal with. You know, they're hiding and they think the dog won't find them. So I would say majority of our apprehension work comes from dead prey, absolutely passive dudes. We did a ton of vehicle extractions, but 2 weeks ago. And one of the things that we kind of try to focus on for our upcoming training days is whatever one of the teams or multiple teams have experienced live on the street the days or weeks prior. So if one of our teams just got, you know, a passive bite on a driver's seat or window down, window up, whatever, we are going to replay the exact exact same scenario that went live for one team for every team on a training day. And then we try to vary it up every which way we can. We try to just, you know, as you guys are, just trying to add as many snapshots to these dogs in the training world so that they see them in the real world. It's a whole lot easier.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing that I think is kind of a byproduct of that you don't see, and Eric and I saw this in Albany. We were at the New England Street Tactics deal. And then every time I do one of that high risk deployment seminars or whatever, it's the handlers, you'll see the dudes that are like super apprehensive, right? And they're like, mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if the dog's going to do it. And I'm like, well, better do it now and find out than when it fucking matters. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, we can work through it. It's not like, you know, I mean, it's a nice dog that he hasn't been shown before. Then that's different than just not fucking doing it. All of a sudden, you know, you'll go through these and like, I see it in my handlers. I'll take guys that are green as shit with a super nice dog. And, you know, they're with me for 6-8 months. And then towards the end, all of a sudden you start seeing them and, you know, they're telling backing officers what to do. They're, you know, they're controlling the situation. They're setting up correctly. They have everything lined out in their head. They know, and I kind of asked one of them, I pulled him aside and he's a former 82nd guy and he's now a cop, canine handler, blog. It's like, so why'd you do it all this way? And he was like, well, I knew it was going to happen. But how did you know it was going to happen? He's like, well, fuck, we've done it 100 times. I'm like, oh, okay, well.
Exactly.
So they get super confident. And, you know, there's those dudes that'll go out there and, you know, when shit gets wonky, like, they're the ones that will take charge. And those dogs will, like you said, go in and bite somebody so hard their soul leaves their body like a little mermaid. And,
yes.
and everybody gets to go home, which is the whole point.
Yep.
Excellent.
So I'm on your website. I was on your website and looking at your social media stuff. First off, on the Instagram, you obviously work for a department that don't give a fuck about a razor.
Nope.
That's a pretty good beard. We had a thing for a while where we were doing No Shave November. And then if you donated money to the Widow and Orphans Fund, it went like November, December, January. And then it went into April 1 year. And then it was year round. It was mainly
that's
because
how
the chief
started.
At the time. Yeah, the chief just wanted a beard is what it amounted to. The day he announced he was retiring and they put in an interim captain, that day they eliminated the beard. That day.
Ah.
I'm like, whatever. Okay.
Because everybody knows you can't police with a beard.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You makes you worse, more worthless.
Yeah, you're
tattoos,
a terrible person.
Tattoos.
Yeah.
Tattoos. Oh, only shitbags have tattoos and beards.
True story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I went through my agency's hiring process, long sleeves the entire time, PT test in the summer, everything. I signed my contract. The next day, I walked in a short sleeve polo, and they were like, oh, dear God, what have we done?
Most people fucking see tattoos. Me, like, I'm covered in tattoos. One of my friends got me a shirt that just says, yes, I have tattoos and no, I'm not a drug dealer. So like when a lot of times when handlers show up or administrators show up, they kind of pick out a dog or whatever, you know, just come interview us or they see me and I'm like, I promise I just look like a shitbag. I'm really like, so then they get to know me a little bit and they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, this dude's legit, I guess. So,
you know, here's a public service announcement for you. You guys that work at a department where they have a tattoo policy. I'm pretty sure if you do some research that it's been ruled unconstitutional. So you need to fight that.
I think Chicago was trying to work that, weren't they? Chicago
yeah, was fighting and there that. Was, they were fighting it. They may have won. There was a place down in like New Mexico or someplace like that that won. They tried to institute that on us and we got it thrown out in one day, completely thrown out in one day. Now, if you have suck a dick on your arm or something like that, oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't have that.
Swastika.
You're gonna have to cover it. Like, yeah. Right, yeah. If yeah. you write it in cursive, no cop can read cursive anymore, so they won't know what it says. But so anyways, going through your stuff here, one of my favorites is the patch you have, the world's okayest decoy.
Oh, yeah.
Where did you come up with that at?
Oh, that came up from a friend of mine that actually works for our local fire department. And she decoys, you know, doing that sport stuff. And she's like, hey, you need to do a sticker, world's okayest decoy. I said, you know what, better yet, I need to do a little dude getting bit in the leg with a sleeve on. So that was the idea came from her. And then I just went with the picture and kind of added it all together. And man, it worked out.
Yeah, that's a really good one. There's a lot of people that should be giving those as gifts for friends.
Absolutely.
Of theirs. Yeah.
That's where I got my $70 Chick-fil-A gift card. I took one in the nipple the other day from our green dog.
I saw that.
Yeah.
So do you guys do green or do you buy finished dogs?
Nah, that dog. dog, that dog came, I guess he came down from Florida. Our first time going to that kennel down in Florida, which I guess the way they do it, they finish the dog and then you come back and you learn the dog through the school. All of our other dogs, we go to the school with them green. So we learn together. So that specific dog that nuked me in the nipple, that was a, you know, quote unquote finished dog that, that he went and picked up. And that was a, you know, a, that was his second dog. So
how does it work that you got bit in the nipple, but he had to buy you a gift card? Because I just make the guy suck it up.
Yeah, it was usually, you know, buy liquor, something, beers on that. And he just went out to Chick-fil-A. He knows I love my Chick-fil-A. And that bite was totally on me. That was a track, probably 600-yard track, something like that, into a old semi-truck trailer that was tipped over and just full of garbage. And, you know, we've been working with that dog with some equipment issues. It was a hidden sleeve bite. So once he took him off strong off of me, dog was just staring at my arm, staring at the sleeve. So I ditched it and started working some civil stuff, pissing them off, getting them focused back on me. And this was all as the handler was dragging him out. So, you know, I was kind of following him out, challenging the dog, doing some civil stuff. Dog had enough of me and I raised my right arm coming at him and dog leaped, center punched me. I couldn't have been more happy. It was live bite, good boy. I told him, drag him out, good boy, all the way to the truck. So that one was on me, but that dog needed it. So
that's sort of where the two things I yell at my handlers during handler schools are, don't put your hand anywhere you wouldn't put your dick, and you can't teach dogs to bite people, and I'm shocked when they do. And fuck, we had the first, because how we do dogs, I mean, I'll sell green dogs if I think that who they're going to is not a complete dipshit, which is not that often. No, I'm not selling a dog to somebody that's like, oh yeah, we'll come buy a green dog. I'm like, I bet you will.
Right.
So, but you know, the first day of school, I'm like, can't these dogs bite people? My stock when they do, they don't know this between cops, kids, old people, whatever. They will bite whatever is there. So
yeah,
when you turn that motherfucker loose, you make sure whatever's out there is ready to get it. And we had a doing a super easy building search off lead, and they're standing there making the announcements, and I wasn't paying attention, and one of the handlers was standing there, and handler, you know, made his announcement, turned dog loose, dog turn, and just nailed this dude right in the nipple. And I was like, what the fuck happened? He was like, I was backing. I'm like, you know those guys stand behind the handler, right? He was like, yep. And to make it better, he was a handler in the city and his brother was on county, and Alicia took him to the hospital. His brother shows up with a bright pink shirt for him, just because it fucked his shirt all up. It said cheerleader on it, and I mean it was fucking bad. He got stitches, and I mean it was gnarly. But to his credit, I mean, he turned out to be a fucking badass handler. He was at school the next day. I didn't hear him complain at all. I mean, he was getting a suit. I was like, so I mean, he's military also, and I was like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Y'all motherfuckers. I was like, yeah, he's a great handler, good dog. But it's like, you know, backing guys, you know, it's in the name. Like, you know, we don't stand in front of the dog. Yep. So.
The early success of the Worthless Handler brand, I guess, probably a surprise. Where do you think you're headed with this?
You know, what I would love to do is to be able to fund a nonprofit or an association, whatever you want to call it, to be able to support our unit with equipment, locations and stuff like that. Because I think, you know, we have a canine budget, but that goes for our food, medical, vet, blah, blah, blah. You know, we've been begging for a new bite suit for a couple years now. It's literally got it looks like Mr. Rogers with patches all over it. And, you know, we're just not giving it. And whenever somebody wants to come donate to the canine unit, it goes to the general fund and the department decides what they want to spend money on. So if I could, you know, get to the point to where I can organize and put together that structured nonprofit, have chairmen and all that garbage, whatever needs to happen, because I don't know. But to be able to have people that can actually go out and fundraise and do that kind of stuff. So when we need bite suits, when we need new harnesses, leashes, stuff like that, that stuff can be handled through an association and we can get the proper equipment that we need, not lowest bidder, and we can get it when we need it. That'd be an ultimate goal. And it would also be another way for us to get more locations. Because right now, our canine unit has nothing to its name. We don't have, you know, an OB yard. We don't have an agility. We have nothing. Spend most of my time in construction yards and random places whenever I can get out and do some work. So to be able to have somewhere that we can let dogs be dogs for a little bit and do some training and whatnot in an area that we own, not the department owns, that they can decide to sell and get rid of and use for whatever they want, that would be an ultimate long-term goal for the company.
It's awesome. Yeah, so I was the head trainer at Police Canine Association for a long time. One thing we learned is that money is power. Yeah. I took over as head trainer in 2010. I didn't ask for a single piece of gear since 2011. Not one piece of gear. We buy everything. We buy it for, there's 38 dogs that train with the PK9A. I think 38 or 39. So we buy the stuff for all the guys that they need, you know, harnesses and leashes and collars. We would prefer their department buy it, but when they lose it or break it or something happens, we're doing it because that takes that one argument out of their mouths. We got free food for everybody. We're funding retired dogs. We're not PK98 doesn't buy dogs. That's about the only thing they don't do. But we put up kennels, concrete pads for guys, all this stuff in my own department. We shut them up. The guy that was like, oh, they cost this much money. No, we actually cost you almost nothing because the association, just be careful, man, because they get jealous and it's a fight. They hate it.
Yeah.
They can't get rid of it because they know how much money we save them, but they hate the fact that we don't kiss their ass for equipment because we don't have to. There was two chiefs at the department while I was there that both tried to order us to give them all of our money, tried to give us a direct order. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
You as a nonprofit have to give us all your money.
Yeah. There was a piece of shit lieutenant who was the president of the credit union board, and he told them how much money we had to the penny in the account.
Oh, that's
we asked for an investigation. Of course, nothing happened. But yeah, twice they tried to do it. And the one chief, I warned him. I said, dude, your career will be over. Ruined. PK9A has 50-some thousand followers on Facebook and 57,000 on Instagram. Are you kidding me? I'll drop the mic here and just get out there and destroy you. Leave K9 alone. But the money, if you guys can do that, you'll find that it becomes freeing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
absolutely.
If you start it, they will come. If you start it, the donations will come for sure.
And departments will come. Like, they will, you did a lot of dogs for departments, Eric, that obviously weren't with your old department, but were semi-close. Well, like CJ and those guys, I mean, they're on that county just over where I picked up Enzo or whatever.
Yeah,
and
they're close.
Yeah, so they paid for the dog green, and then obviously they paid for the handler and the car. But, I mean, outside of that, I think everything came from K9A.
Yeah, we do all that other stuff. And, it does help. Anytime you can take an argument out of a hater's mouth in a department, because we know the upper echelon suck most places. Yeah, we talked about it in my retirement rant. It's all those bosses that were hired in 1991, 92, 93 that they gotta go. They can't keep ruling. That's what they think, but management style cannot. Yeah, your management style cannot be grudges and payback.
No, man.
You know, things that you've held because you didn't get in K9 years ago.
Guys don't quit because same thing with Rigney, same thing with Aaron. You know, they don't quit because, you know, the work. It's the fuckers that you have to work for. Word and how you sell it. You get in the good graces of your admins and make them look good. As long as you make them look good, they'll leave you the fuck alone. Mm-hmm. Do your job, do it well, do what we trained you to do. Make them look good and don't fuck something up and just go do your thing. Like, they'll leave you alone.
So you got any more? I mean, you don't have to go into them so it doesn't get stolen, but you got any new t-shirt designs in the hopper?
I got a couple. I got some more stickers coming. They're on their way. So a new sticker idea. Man, it just comes down to money. I got ideas out the butthole. I just can't afford it, you know. And the whole idea behind this is that I'm not busting into my family's budget. You know, I got two kids, one on the way, and I'm on a cop salary, so I'm a millionaire. Right, I kind of got to wait for the patches to make a little bit of money so that I can afford more patches, you know, and wait for some t-shirts to sell so I can afford more shirts. So, I mean, it's slower than I would want, but I don't owe anybody money. I got no debt, so I can't complain. But yeah, I got, you know, and the stickers and the shirts are kind of, my margins are better than they are in shirts on that kind of stuff. So I'm able to continue putting out kind of some new stickers, new patches and whatnot to be able to fund me trying to start some more shirts and whatnot. So ideas, yeah, I got a bunch. I just can't afford it yet. I'm working on it.
Awesome. We can find you, and everybody else can find you, at Worthless Handler on Instagram and Facebook, right? And on the interwebs.
And .com on the interwebs.
WorthlessHandler.com. That is a great name.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I tell you what, it's motivating when people say, hey, man, I feel just as worthless as you are. And at the end of the day, if I can post something, kind of let another agency know that, hey, we're getting crapped on too. It don't matter. You can still be successful. You still have a good team. And especially when it comes to the money, you know, we get no equipment, no training venues, but we go out and still make the best of it. If we can kind of put some motivation into some other units that might be dealing with the same thing, then I feel like that's mission accomplished for me, that they can put some energy with teams.
Awesome. All right. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on with us. We like to have like-minded people as far as training goes on here.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're doing a heck of a job there. Keep it up.
I appreciate it, guys.
You're doing an amazing job considering that you're worthless and considering that you don't have a whole lot of support. So I feel you, brother. So anyways, thank you, Ted.
You guys. It's been an absolute pleasure.
All right. Ted, and thank you everyone for a great 2018.
Yeah, we got some
2019 should kick ass.
We have 3 interviews lined up that I think are going to be really good with some very, very public people, so should be interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. And no sex offenders.
No. Yeah. Fuck.
There'll be no sex offenders.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
Good night.
Eric here. Like many trainers, Ted and I go through toys with the hard super chewer dogs we typically have in our kennel. So we need toys designed to withstand the grueling reality of high drive working dogs. That's where USA Canine Dog Toys excel. Their toys are made from an extremely durable rubber compound. They have reward toys as well as food dispenser toys, all made to last and are very affordable. All the toys are military themed. Go to the website, www.usa-canine.com. Check out the grenade shaped toys. They got the cherry bomb. They got a lot of other great things over there, military themed toys. Here's the best part. A portion of all USA Canine proceeds go to support military working dogs and other veterans organizations. And that's freaking badass. www.usa-canine.com. Use the promo code K9PRO or check them out on Instagram at USA Canine Dog Toys.
Everybody loves stuff that goes boom. And we couldn't talk about stuff that goes boom without talking about Tripwire Operations Group. They're some of the best in the industry at stuff that makes loud noises and blows stuff up. Specifically for guys in this podcast. For if you're handling an explosive dog or you're a trainer of an explosive dog, they have one of the most well-rounded, ready-to-go kits in the correct amounts and odors for any national standard or state standard certification. Head over to tripwireops.org to check it out. They're headquartered in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and a group of first responders dedicated to serving first responders. They believe that the most highly trained and prepared first responders create a safer America. They prepare you guys and other first responders and military to protect our country by providing products, services, training, and relationships which together no one else provides. In fact, they've done several HME large hide courses recently, which is a really valuable thing for explosives handlers because you're not really able to get that much odor in one place at one time safely, and these guys do a fantastic job. Be sure to head over to tripwireops.org and check out the full list of classes they've got going on and have contact info there on the website. Again, tripwireops.org.
This episode of Working Dog Radio is being brought to you by Highland Canine Training LLC, offering unbeatable police canine training and handler education programs that are science-based, research-driven, and some of the most progressive programs in the industry. Go check them out at www.tacticalpolicecaninetraining.com. That's Tactical Police, the letter K, the number 9, training.com. You got your reasons, I got my wants, still got that feeling, but I'm too old to die young
now. Working Dog Radio was graciously granted permission to use this music by Brother Deeg. Be sure to check him out at brotherdeeg.blogspot.com. That's spelled Brother DEEG.blogspot.com. Be sure to buy him a beer at Amazon, iTunes, or CD Baby, or anywhere you stream your music. Working Dog Radio was edited and co-produced by Alicia Brandt.